let's dive in.
Johnny just did. Okay, thank you, Johnny. I want to celebrate with Spruce Lake all of the growth and forward movement that Johnny's been talking about. So thank you for sharing that update. And I just pray that God will just continue to use this place to create fertile soil, which is something we're going to talk about today. So we'll just dive in. Dear Lord God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us to be here. And Lord, just as Johnny prayed, Lord, I just pray that you would speak through us, use your Holy Spirit to speak through us and communicate what you want us to hear today. I pray for every heart and mind in the room that they would receive your word and do something with that for your glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's not just the miracles that have caught his attention. Is that me? Can y'all hear me? Kinda? Sorta? I can't tell if I'm on or not. Okay. Y'all can hear me? All right, cool. It's not just the miracles that have caught his attention. It's the teaching. See, he had seen it all. What others have only heard about as rumors, John had experienced for himself and seen with his own eyes. It's the kind of stuff you read about in tabloids. Man walks on water. 5,000 people fed out of a little kid's lunchbox. 12-year-old girl raises from the dead. And each and every time, the same name is attached to the stories. Jesus. His name means Yahweh saves. The man who heals lepers, who has caused paralyzed men to walk. They say that he has opened the eyes of the blind. This journey with Jesus has been amazing. But it's not what hooked John. It's not what first drew his attention. For John, it's been all about the teaching. The crowds, every time Jesus seems to open his mouth, the crowds are just astonished. And they look at one another saying, where did he get that? Where did this teaching even come from? It's not just the insight of the wisdom, it's the authority he speaks with. So when word gets out that Jesus is in the area, the crowds are coming. Thousands are making their way down to the lake where they've heard Jesus is going to be that day. From Bethesda, from Capernaum, from Tiberias, from Chorazin, people will make the 20-mile journey on foot out to the lake, dragging their children behind them, some of them helping blind friends, some of them on crutches, some of them just wanting to get a peek to see if the rumors are true, just wanting a glimpse, some of them with questions. And as the people begin to press in, Jesus and the disciples have rehearsed for this. They know how they're going to do this. So John stands, feet in the water, beside his boat, just holding it in place for now. As the crowd begins to press in, they know that eventually they will press Jesus into the lake. So John waits for him with the boat. It's a natural amphitheater. They know that if Jesus stands in the boat and begins teaching, his voice will carry over the waves and up the banks. And as the creator of sound, Jesus knows this is the best possible place he can be to be heard by everybody. The rest of the disciples get the crowd settled down. They get them quiet. And John and Jesus get in the boat. John has lived his entire life on the water, and now his only job is to keep this little boat steady as Jesus stands up and begins to teach the people. John's sitting there behind Jesus, salt breeze in his hair, the sun glinting off the water, watching the whole thing unfold. And John is excited at this moment because this is the moment he's been waiting for. All of the miracles, all of the rumors, all of the teaching have led to this moment, and now they have the crowds. And John knows what the crowd doesn't. Jesus is about to drop a sermon that will blow their minds. And this is the moment he's been waiting for. Jesus clears his throat. Listen up. A farmer went out to sow some seed. And John is like, oh, what a good beginning. I cannot wait for this one.
And Jesus keeps going. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore's water's edge. He taught them many things about parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen up, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear again. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." And then Jesus stops. And John's sitting there in the boat staring at him going, "What was that? Is that it?" He's thinking, we had crowd, we had a momentum, you've got them all right here. And you talk about farming?
The crowd's got to be looking at each other. Jesus comes up and he goes, "If you throw some seed, be careful where it lands. Some will grow, some won't. Let's pray and go home." And this is the moment. And what do you do with this? Because it says later on, the disciples don't know what this is about. And so they've got to be looking at each other thinking, you can't tell him that wasn't a good sermon. He's Jesus. Like, what do you say to this? And in verse 10 of Mark chapter 4, it says this: "When he was alone, the 12 and others around him," if you have your Bible open to Mark chapter 4, circle, highlight, and underline that, "and others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of heaven has just been given to you.'" Jesus looks at him and he goes, "I just told you how spirituality and how the kingdom of God works." And the disciples are sitting here going, "Did you though? Because it kind of feels like you talked about dirt and walked away. Like, we don't quite know what to do with this, Jesus." And Jesus responded, "To those outside, everything is said in parables, so that," and check this out, "so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven."
And I'm going, isn't that what we want? We want them to turn and be forgiven, right? So that piece of passage always makes me pause. I'm like, what are you doing here, Jesus? But as we get further into Scripture, we learn that he doesn't want just a drive-by, shallow conversion. He wants more than that.
It's why he saved it for the people who came and asked about it. Not just the 12 disciples, but anyone else who came and asked, the others. Verse 13, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable?'" "No, we don't." "Then how will you understand any parable? See, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path, and they begin to get it." Oh, this isn't actually about farming. We were trying to figure out how to apply this to our lives because we're all fishermen. And he says, no, that's not what this is about. He goes, "The farmer sows the word, and the word is the word of God." And he says, "Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away, the word that is sown in them. But others, like seed on rocky places, hear the word at once and receive it with joy. But they have no root, so it only lasts a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall away quickly. Still others are like seed sown among the thorns. They hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come up and choke the word out, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word and accept it. They produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times fold." And they begin to understand this isn't about farming. This is about what you do with the word of God in your life. When you hear the word of God, this is all about how you receive it. I want to talk to you today about why church won't change your life, about why a sermon won't change your life, about why camp won't change your life. You see, if you're writing things down today, write this down. The person responsible for my spiritual growth is me. The person responsible for my spiritual growth is me. You see, I want to let you know, 95% of what we do here falls upon you. It falls upon the person who's hearing this. See, guys, I want to let you know, we have done everything we could to prepare for this moment so that when we are out here throwing the word of God, almost like seed, imagine if you will, we were out here just throwing the word of God and it's like seed. And we're just out here just like, here, like take the word of God. And we've done everything we can at this moment just to prepare for your hearts to get it. It's why Drew and Lexi and Chance are up here and they lead us to the throne of God hoping that we'll be open to this moment. It's why there are 250 people at Spruce Lake who have dedicated their lives to putting in 16-hour days behind the scenes, doing things like setting up chairs and setting up pickleball and setting up water slides and picking up the sunflower seeds that some random guy threw everywhere. And they're here to set this moment up, all to prepare our hearts for this moment. It's why I spend time just crafting and wordsmithing and going over the word of God to do everything I can to make sure this lands. It's why Sarah loses sleep and texts her family while they're in the middle of church saying, please pray for me in this moment because this has got to land. And with all of that, 95% of this is on you and how your heart receives the word. It's why two of you can walk out of here and one person's like, man, it's like God spoke directly to me. And the other person's like, oh, that is so boring. Like, it's like, story, 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 laughy, laughy, laughy. Oh my gosh, get me out of here already. It's 11:30. And two different people can walk out because of where our hearts are. And so today, we don't just want to open up the Bible and tell the story and throw stuff at you. More than that, we want to help you. We want to lead you into a time of self-examination, of introspection, to say, okay, what is happening in my heart that might be preventing me from receiving everything God wants me to receive? What is preventing me from thriving in the kingdom of God? And hopefully today we will help you identify, oh man, this is why I'm shallow. There are some rocks in the way. Hopefully we'll help you identify, oh, these are the things that are choking out my walk with Jesus, to get to the point where you're looking and saying, okay, now I believe with all my heart I can be fruitful in the kingdom. And Jesus said, the farmer goes out to throw some seed, and as he throws it, the word of God is going out. And he said, but it all comes out to the people who are listening.
The first soil he talks about, he says it's like throwing it on a path. It's the path most traveled. It's concrete. Maybe it's been stomped on and trampled by the ways of the world, by the culture. It's a whole lot of people just walking along. And it hasn't been there very long before the birds start coming.
And then it says the birds come, and they're just like, and they eat it all, and they're just like,
thank you, babe.
I got this.
And then, so those birds, that's like Satan in our lives. It's the enemy coming and snatching what has been placed on our hearts, but it's only there for a quick second. It's on the path.
And isn't he a pretty bird? Man, Satan is a pretty bird. Scripture says he masquerades as an angel of light. You see, never once in my life have I been walking out in the dark and Satan, like, you know, jumps out from behind a car in red with a pitchfork going, Matt! Like, and I'm like, oh, it's Satan. Never once has that been the case. Now, when he shows up in my life, he shows up as something pretty. He shows up as something appealing. He shows up like something I want. He shows up to distract me. He shows up to lead me away. He shows up to something that I want to follow. You see, that's always how he works in my life. It's never scary. It's alluring and tempting.
Yeah, so some of the hardness of that path, it could be snatched away by distractions. Maybe it's worry, stress. Maybe it's trying to gain some popularity, focused on which TikTok reel you're going to put out next. Sometimes it's just full of the distractions of our culture. And if your mind and your heart is wrapped up in that, it can't take in the Word of God and really absorb it like Jesus wants it to in our lives. Other times, it's maybe even on us. Maybe it's a decision we've made to have a hard heart. Maybe life has trampled us, oftentimes in the name of religion. And maybe we're angry with God, and we have hardened our hearts. And Jesus had a lot of these people in the crowd. He had people that no matter what Jesus said, no matter what he did, he performed miracles, they wouldn't accept it because they had hardened their hearts to them. And the thing about hard paths is nothing can get through until it's broken, right? Until it's cracked. And some of the most impactful stories have come out of brokenness. And so I want to encourage you, if that is your story today, if you got to the end of yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, yes, I need Jesus, please make sure you're telling that story. Please make sure you are sharing how maybe you came from a place of hardened heart to a place of brokenness and full acceptance of Christ, because that is how we're going to encourage each other. That shows up in Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 15. It says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily." And I think about that, and I think encourage one another daily. We do that by our stories, by our testimony. As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion.
And then Jesus says, let me tell you about soil number two, picking it up at verse 16, Mark chapter 4. Other seed is like seed sown on a rocky place. It hears the word and receives it with joy. But since they have no root, circle, highlight, or underline that, it only lasts a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Others come to the word of God and they're excited about it. Maybe you see life change. It's this idea that, behold, look, there's growth in this person's life and it springs up with joy. But the problem is, because of the rocky soil, there's no depth, and so it's that kind of the just pops right out. It's the picture of that plant that shows up in the crack in the driveway, like, and you're like, it wasn't there yesterday, and it's like foot tall today. And then you just go and you just pop it right out because there's no root, there's no soil, there's no depth to it. See, this is why Jesus said, I'm speaking in parables. It would be easy for me to do a giant invitation and have everybody say, yes, that's what I want, and have them fall away later. So he saved the meaning for those that wanted to dive deep enough that they would actually come to Jesus and say, hey, what is this all about? He says, because I'm not interested in a quick pop-up conversion. I'm interested in depth and fruit. It's the idea that says as soon as opposition comes, as soon as an old relationship or an old friendship shows back up in the picture, as soon as things get difficult, as soon as adversity hits, as soon as you face an iron chariot, you're like, I'm not going. And it's this idea that it says, man, this is where it stops. You see, God's work in our life has to be a personal commitment. So many times, as a youth pastor for, you know, a dozen years, I constantly saw kids come and make a decision for Jesus. And it's like 6 months later, we're like, hey, where is so-and-so? They're not showing up anymore. And it's like, oh yeah, they don't want anything to do with church. And I'm like, did we do something? Did we offend them? Did we say something wrong? Like, what happened? And they're like, I don't know. They just fell back in their old crowd. They popped up and now they're gone. And it's a sad story. See, it's this idea that people will accept Christ because Jesus came to make your life better. And when your life doesn't get better and it gets harder, as is almost every single story of every single person in the New Testament, then we wonder, man, was I sold something different? It's this picture. If I wanted to lose weight, which is actually not a hypothetical. And so I come and I tell my buddy, I said, hey, I've got to get in shape. I've got to do something. This is not working for me. I've got to get better at this. And he says, well, have you considered joining a gym? And I said, no, I really haven't. You think that would be a good start? And he goes, yeah, you should absolutely go to the gym. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to the gym. And after 3 months of going to the gym, I'm like, hey, I'm not seeing a difference in my life. And he's like, okay, maybe you just need to ramp it up a notch. Maybe you need to go to the gym like 2 or 3 times a week. And I'm like, okay, from now on, I will go to the gym on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday nights. And I'm going to increase my time at the gym. And after 6 more weeks, I'm like, I've gained 3 pounds. Like, what is happening here? And he says, well, okay, run me through this. What kind of exercises are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm not doing exercise. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm allergic to exercise. Every time I exercise, like, I break out in a sweat. My face turns red. It cannot be good for me. Like, I am sure of this. And he goes, wait a minute. You're at the gym, right? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm at the gym. And he goes, twice a week, yeah. And he's like, but you're not exercising? No. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just listening to people talk about their workout. Like, people talk about good exercises and things that I should do. And he's like, but you're not doing any of them. I'm like, no. You see, nobody would be that stupid unless it comes to our relationship with the church. And then suddenly we're like, oh, but I'm going to church. And you're like, well, why isn't anything changing? I have no root. I'm not putting in any work. I've got no spiritual exercises in my life. I've applied 0 spiritual disciplines to my growth. And therefore, it's just not very deep and just pops right out of there because I don't go deep. And oh, man, I'm at church. And oh, man, I'm at camp. But it's not real. It's not deep. It's not personal for me. See, your growth in Jesus has to be a personal commitment.
We continue in verse 18, Mark 4, verse 18. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word. And circle, highlight, or underline this, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it fruitful. So you have some, they hear the word of God and they grow. Voila, there's greenery, there's growth, there's fruit even. We get all excited about it. And then what happens? Well, scripture tells us the desires for other things, the deceitfulness of wealth and the worries of life start coming in. And this can present in many different ways. I think it can be really relatable.
You know, it's almost as if I want to follow Jesus, but I'm concerned about how that's going to look to other people. I'm concerned about how other people are going to perceive it. So I'm concerned about my look, so I'm just going to put some makeup here to represent, like, hey, I'm concerned about what this might look like to other people. And it comes in, and it's like, you know what? I really care about if other people see this in my life or they see this change, how's that going to be received? I don't want to offend anybody, so I'm just going to, like, cover up, like, some of this Jesus in my life.
And then what if My credentials matter. I need to fight for prestige, promotion. I've really got to focus on that. So that's going to come in here. Just take up a little bit of space.
And I've got to make room for, like, all my hobbies and everything like that. So, like, I got to make time for pickleball with my buddies, you know? And, of course, my video games have to be in my life still. Like, that's got to be a must. So just put that in there, too.
And money. You know, we hear a lot. You can talk to any socioeconomic class and say, okay, how much money do you need just to be happy? And no matter what state of life they're in, they just say, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more.
And then it says, the desires and lusts of other things. So, of course, there's, oh, you know, my relationship with Jesus, but I also got to have my relationship with, like, her, right? And so she's got to be in there, you know? And, like, unless, you know what, ladies, I'm not going to leave you out. Like, he's just a hunk, and so you got a thing for him. So we're just going to put him right in there, too.
And then some of the weeds might actually be weed. Maybe there's addictions. Maybe there's something that just always is around to take the edge off a little bit.
And this is the picture of soil three. Now, if you look, there's still growth in here. You can still see some of the things that are happening. But what has happened? Everything else that we want and we desire in this life has come in, and it's just begun to cover things, and it's being choked out. You see, I want Jesus, and I want the American dream. Or I want Jesus, and I want to continue my own desires and lusts and pursuits. Or I want Jesus, and Jesus says, you can't have two gods. No one can serve God and mammon, or no one can serve God and money. You can't serve two masters. You'll either love one and hate the other, or love the other and hate the one. He says, eventually you got to pick. And Jesus is saying, this soil, your heart, cannot sustain more than one priority. And I'm not even saying these things are bad things, except for weed. Weed's a bad thing. Don't do that. But it's this idea that, man, all of these other things that we desire, they might not even be bad things. They could be good things, and we make them God things. And the moment you put something else ahead of Jesus, it's not going to work anymore. You cannot serve two masters.
Yeah. Jesus needs to be the first priority, not just a priority. And so we move on to soil four, soil number four. It says in verse 20, others like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown.
You may be looking at this saying, Matt, that is the dumbest looking fruit tree I have ever seen. Thank you. I made it myself. I actually stole a lamp out of the lodge right over there and spent last night hot gluing things. I even got the burn bubble on my thumb to prove it. Not only that, but check this out. Bam! See, this plant may look ridiculous, but that's kind of the point Jesus was making. He says, oh, you'll produce a crop 30, 60, or 100 times more. And any farmer in the crowd, any farmer on the shore in the room would have said, okay, that's dumb. You see, if you have a good year, you're going to produce 5 times the crop that you sowed. If you have what's called a bumper crop, meaning, oh, this is not just a good year, it is outside of the norm, then you can produce 7 times what you've sown. There have been even times in history where people have produced 10 times what they have sown. But when Jesus talks about 30, 60, or 100 times, the farmers in the room got to be like, okay, that's ridiculous fruit. And so we tried to make ridiculous fruit. Fruit that comes from all directions, all kinds of different fruit that God will produce in your life when you're ready to receive his word. And it's this picture that says, man, there it is. That's the secret to God working in your life. And Jesus goes, it's just been given to you. Do you have ears? Let him hear.
Yeah, so we're going to go over some steps of how to get there. How do we produce this kind of ridiculous fruit? Well, first off, it's not just a one-time thing, you know, like what Matt was referencing, maybe that quick decision at camp and then those youth drop off, right? It's a daily choosing. That always makes me think of Romans 12 when it says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. It is a day-to-day choice to hear, accept, and receive the word of God.
It begins with hearing the word of God. It's that picture when you're throwing out the seed and you're like, behold, the word of God. Congratulations, you have all heard the word of God. We read it to you ourselves. That's it. Hear the word of God. Okay. There's not much to that one.
And then there's the big word, accept. You don't just hear it, but you've got to accept it. So if I'm reading along or I'm listening and I'm like, whoa, I don't like the way that sounds. I don't like what it says about generosity. I don't really don't like what it says about forgiveness or how to handle my sexuality. I can't just expect God to change what he says for me. I have to change myself to align with what God says. That is acceptance of the word of God. Wouldn't it be nice if he just said, love God and love the people who like you and live a great life, have a good life, see you in heaven. That'd be awesome, right? But no, he tells us to make some changes in how our heart aligns with his ways.
Which means you kind of got to take a look at this book. And every one of us has to decide for ourselves. Do we want to view this as, you know what, this is some archaic text. It doesn't really apply to me today. It doesn't really have much to do with my life. You know, God, we know so much better now than 2,000 years ago when this book was codified. We know so much better now than what God used to say. And does this really apply anymore? And we have to decide whether or not we want to take this seriously and obey the word of God, or whether we simply want to say, okay, that doesn't really apply to me because I have my other desires. Are we going to obey the word of God and let this root grow deep within our lives? Are we going to do the hard work of saying, okay, what's preventing this from growing deep? I got to get rid of some of these rocks. I guess I got to start exercising some of the things it says in here. I guess I need to learn how to fast. I guess I need to put a daily time with God and prayer in my life. I guess I need to regularly be in this thing and not just have someone else read it to me as if I can't do it for myself. I have to put some practices, some spiritual disciplines into my life. We're going to get deeper into that tomorrow. And it all comes down to obeying the word of God. Am I going to obey it when it says, listen, there's some Canaanites in your life and you've got to pull some of those weeds in order to get like some real growth in here. You've got to get some of this stuff out. It might not even be bad stuff, but it's become God stuff. And you need to make sure you know where your priorities lie. So we have to come down to obeying this word of God.
And so today, that is what we encourage you to leave here with. Go and ask yourself, what kind of dirt am I right now? Am I that hard, cracked sidewalk that's been trampled on? Maybe I decided a while back, I'm done. I don't want to hear anymore. Or am I someone who needs to pull some weeds? Or can I be a fertile soil? You know, we sang earlier, the more I know you, the more I need you. I need you more than air. I need you more than breath. Do we have that kind of soil in our hearts? And are we letting God's word go deep? Or are we just letting it bounce off the surface? So I'd love to pray for everybody today as we walk out with that kind of question in our minds and in our hearts. And if it's you today, I'm going to try and walk down all four soils as we talk to God and ask him to prepare our hearts to have a soil that accepts and receives his word. We hear, accept, and obey. Okay. Dear Lord God, I thank you so much for every person you have in here today, Lord. You see us. You know us. You know our story. And God, you meet us in the hardened places. You meet us in the broken places and the soft, ready to produce fruit kind of places, Lord. God, I pray for each person in here, Lord. And I pray, Father, that those who are in a space where they feel like they have been stomped on and trampled on by the culture, by distractions, by hardships, maybe by other religious messages, Lord. God, I pray that they can be broken for your light to shine through. Lord, I pray that you can make beauty out of the ashes. God, you promise us that you will. And Lord, I pray for those who maybe just have that shallow soil. They've heard it before. They've had the mountaintop experience. They've gone home and done all the things. And then just the distractions of the world kind of snatch them away and get them just to a place that they don't feel close to you anymore, that they don't desire you the way that they wanted to when they first met you. God, I just pray, Father, that you would just rekindle that desire in their hearts and that they would seek you. And Lord, I pray for those that have a whole lot of fruit but also have a whole lot of weeds. Lord, would you please highlight to them which weeds still need pulling, which ones need to be taken at their root and thrown away, Lord, so that it is you and your life and your truth and your goodness that prevails. And finally, Lord, I just thank you so much for preparing our hearts for fertile soil. Let us hear you, accept your word, and obey you. Lord, let us be the light in the darkness, God, that we are meant to be, Father, to build your kingdom and glorify you. Let us desire you in ways that we know that you are more important than the air we breathe. That you are the air we breathe. It's in Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen. Amen.